Today is June 28th, 2005. I am Linda Millett, and I am interviewing Gordon Nelson, who was a Peace Corps staff member in Nyasaland, which is now known as Malawi, Central Africa. He served as a deputy director for the first program, and I think one or two others that came after us. We were an education program. Gordon served from March of 63 to March of 65. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Linda.
Would you please state your full name and give your current address?
Well, my name is Gordon, middle initial E, Nelson. I live at 12005 Millstream Drive in Bowie, Maryland.
Thank you. Can you describe for us just briefly your current family situation and members of your family and that kind of thing, and what your current interests are?
My wife is still here. She and I live in this house. We've lived here since 1967. We have a 53-year-old son who has two children, and we have a 51-year-old daughter who has one child, and they most of the kids live close to us, so we're pretty well centered here in Bowie.
And what are your current interests?
Well, my current interest, because of my physical limitations, I try to keep up with current events mostly. I spend a lot of time on the computer, tried to do some writing. I self-published a book, but I haven't done too much of anything for the last 4 or 5 years.
Gordon, you self-published a book. What's the name of the book? What is that about?
The book was called, I can't even remember the name of the book.
This was some time ago?
No, it was a book about the Reclamation Act of 1902. I did some lobbying for a number of years, and I wrote a book about the guy who started the ball rolling to get that bill passed in 1902. I wrote that and published it, sold maybe 300 copies.
Okay.
So I did.
Great. I'd like you to think back now to the year just before you became involved with Peace Corps, and talk about your life then, and about any experiences that you had that might have been before that year that led up to your applying for a staff position or even wanting to be in the Peace Corps?
Well, my background basically was newspapering. I had been a city editor of the Fresno Bee in Fresno, California. I quit that job and went into the public relations business, handled a lot of political campaigns, and one of my close friends was a member of the state legislature by the name of Bert Delato. He was selected to be the Peace Corps director in Ethiopia, and the Peace Corps staff selection system was such that you could not select yourself. You had to recommend somebody else. So Bert was recommended by a guy by the name of Jess Unruh, who was the Speaker of the California Assembly, and Bert recommended me, and they wanted to know whether I would be interested in serving overseas on the staff, and I said, well, sure. So I was brought back to Washington and was interviewed and selected.
Okay, that's interesting, because I had wondered if there were group of what the selection process was for staff. So basically, it was recommendations, and then they must have checked in.
If you tried to get yourself in, you probably never would.
Okay.
And Shriver liked ex-newspaper men. He had a great confidence in newspaper people as being resourceful and self-reliant, and that's what he was looking for.
Okay. So they came to you, and you basically, why were you even interested, though, in the Peace Corps?
Well, I wasn't particularly interested. I was interested and curious because Bert Delato had been selected. But when they ask you, you know, you can't hardly just say no.
They probably say, we need you.
Well, yeah.
Did you have any kind of training at all? Orientation?
Had no training in anything having to do with any work overseas. I had never been a bureaucrat, so it was all new.
And did Peace Corps give you any kind of orientation or training to going over?
Yes.
Where did they do that, and what was that
well,
like?
Well, we came, my wife and I and the two kids, came back here in December of 1962 to Washington, D.C., and...
Where were you living?
We were living down on Massachusetts Avenue, and we came back here in December, and I worked for 3 months in the East Africa Regional Office of the Peace Corps, and handled correspondence between Washington and the Field Corps, the Peace Corps offices in East Africa.
Hmm. Okay, so that was your training?
That was the training. Took 3 months. Had made one trip to Syracuse to say hello to people and came back the next day, but I had no training except what I learned here.
Okay, in the office. Were you corresponding with Bob Poole or anybody in Malawi, in Nyasaland at that
no,
time?
No, I knew who the director was, but I had never had any correspondence with him or anything like that.
Okay.
It didn't, it hadn't been there too much before we got there. I think maybe you guys got there in December?
January.
You got there in January and we got there in March, so it was all pretty new.
Okay. So you had no training in language, okay. Did you ever have to use the language?
No, we had an old guy that used to come and teach us Chinyanja in Blantyre after we got there, but it was, you know, you learn a few words and that's all.
Okay. Let's see. How did you prepare your family and friends and anybody else in your life for the fact that you were going to be gone for 2 years?
Well,
if you had anybody.
The wife, Ruth has always been very pliable and you know, willing to do what I had chosen to do as far as a career is concerned. The kids were small. They come along. So it was, and as far as friends, we had just moved into a new house, brand new house in Fresno, swimming pool and the whole nine yards. And we rented that while we were gone, and just came back here and did what we did.
Okay. What was your initial entry and reaction into Nyasaland when you got there?
Well, we had briefing papers, of course, that were prepared, you know, what the country's like, what the climate is like, the currency, the customs, and all that stuff. We had no idea where we were going to live. We knew that we would spend the first two or three nights in the Ryles Hotel. Had no idea what to expect in the way of food or anything like that, although we assumed it would be European because it was a European style hotel.
Was that in Blantyre?
That was in Blantyre. Blantyre was of course run by British expatriates, so you know, it was not that foreign, so it wasn't.
And what about when you landed, or the reaction to the country itself, the environment, the people, initial reactions, any?
Well, I can't actually remember very much about that because you're so pumped up. We had taken a couple days in London and a couple days in Paris and a couple days in Rome, and we got there. It was an overnight flight from Rome to Nairobi, from Nairobi to Salisbury, and Salisbury to Blantyre, and you're just all worn out. Somebody was there to meet us and took us to the hotel, and that was about it.
Okay, all right. So what was your, what was, once you got acclimated and rested and whatnot, then who were the staff members that you were involved with, and what was your job, and
well,
where did you live, where did you end up living, and what kind of accommodations?
Housing was up to each family to find their own, but they had certain houses that they knew were available for rent, and they say, here's one here and one there. We finally wound up, we had a nice small split level, and we rented that for a few months. We had a rental allowance, as I recall. I can't remember what it was. And then the man that owned the house wanted to turn it over to a different tenant. So we moved up to another house that was much larger. And it turned out ultimately to be next door to Dr. Banda's house. So we lived next to Dr. Banda for well over a year.
And he was who?
Dr. Banda was the president of Malawi, president of, life president of the Malawi Congress Party, and was an American trained physician. Went to, I think it was in Kentucky or Tennessee. Went to a medical school, practiced medicine in London for many, many years. And sort of was the leader of the Malawi nationalist movement for many years.
Okay, so you lived next door to him. Now, what was your living like?
Well, we had a nanny for a while. We had a she helped, you know, with the cooking and the laundry and the housekeeping and stuff like that, but. My wife has never been much one for domestic help. We had a gardener whose name was Raphael, and he took care of all the lawn and the yard and did all the heavy lifting and all that kind of stuff. They lived out back, mm-hmm. So they did.
And then, who greeted you at the staff? Who did you work with, and what did you do?
Well, we had.
What was your job?
We had, as staff, Bob Poole, of course, was the director, and he and his wife, Jenny, and their daughter, Joyce, and then they had a son named Bobby, I think. They lived in the Peace Corps hostel when we got there. Then there was an elderly Scottish lady whose name I cannot remember for the life of me. And then, of course, Sheila, worked for her, and that was pretty much what it was. It was Bob and I and two ladies.
Okay. And what was your job? You were deputy director?
My job was primarily to be a paper shuffler. I was the one that saw to it that the supplies were ordered and delivered, and the bills were paid, and all that kind of stuff. I did not work much at all with the schools or the Africans or anything. Didn't really have too much to do with most of the volunteers. Tried to get around to see most of them over the two-year period, but I don't think I ever did get around to see everybody. Then there was while we were there, I think there was a very small lawyers project that started, and then. We had another teacher's project that started, and then we had a tuberculosis project that started. I did a little bit of work developing the tuberculosis project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you had leisure time, did you make any friends? What kind of community did you have friends with or interaction with?
Well, we had, we are Christians in our house, and we were the first people we met really were Tom and Pat Davis, and they were very active in the Baptist church there, and Tom and Pat were very hospitable to us. And
were they Americans, or
they were? Tom Davis was an American, Pat was a nurse, And they took care of all the volunteers, and they weren't primarily to take care of the Africans, but they were there to take care of the volunteers. They invited us to their house, and there was a Baptist church there. But then, within a month or two, a couple of Lutheran missionaries showed up. So we became quite close friends with the Lutheran missionaries and saw them on Sundays. They would come to our house and worship. Mm-hmm. And we usually had anywhere from 10 to 30 Africans worshiping at our house on Sundays also. Mm-hmm. Now, we had no, as Peace Corps people, we did not do any religious proselytizing. Mm-hmm. But what we did is we made our home available to the other two Lutheran missionary families, and they invited Africans to come to our house to worship, and we of course welcomed them.
Mm-hmm.
So we did.
Okay. Let's see, we're moving right along. Did you have any interactions with the PCBs as they came into the office, or do you remember any stories, funny stories, any challenges, any anything around Peace Corps itself?
There were always people who had problems. This is going to be, no matter where you go, people are going to have problems. And there was one volunteer who shall remain nameless, who used to come in and she would quite often be in tears, and she would come in to see us. See me. We got along quite well, and we'd try to cheer her up and give her a pat on the back and send her back to where she was. Then there was a married couple who seemed not to relate too well to the other volunteers. They seemed to be kind of held at a distance. We tried to buck them up and encourage them. They finally, when they got back to the United States, they had their first child. I think they named their first boy. They gave him the middle name of Gordon. So they
That's
did.
Nice.
And I kept in touch with them for a while, but I haven't heard from them lately. And then there's always a couple of strange people who don't quite fit in, and you try to make them feel good. We had a lot of volunteers in for dinner. One particularly that I remember was not in the Malawi 1 group, but I think Malawi 3, and that was Paul Thoreau, of course, who became a world-famous best-selling author and all that kind of stuff. But Paul used to come to the house occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one in the Malawi 1 group that I thought was particularly interesting, and that was a lady named Elda Ginevri. Elda spoke 5 languages and was a native of Italy, I believe, but I have no idea where she is now.
She's deceased.
Is she?
And not very long ago.
Oh.
So okay. She was living in Italy for a number of years.
Yeah.
So there were the challenges.
Oh yeah.
And well, were there fun times? Any funny stories?
Oh yeah. Well, we used to. I became a ham radio operator while I was there, and I lived next door to the Dr. Banda, and had this huge ham radio antenna sticking up over our house. Never gave us any trouble, accused us of being CIA agents or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And about once every 4 or 5 months, there would be a get-together of all the ham radio operators in Malawi would come to our house or somebody else's house. So we had some friends among the ham radio fraternity there, but not too many close friends among the volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Poole, of course, got out to see all of them quite often, yeah. So he did.
Yeah. Yeah, he was killed in Kenya.
Yeah.
In an accident, yeah. There was a traumatic event. I should say that I served with Gordon as one of this, my staff member, because I was in Yasaland One Group, so I'm quite familiar with Gordon. There was a traumatic event that first year while we were there.
Yeah, President Kennedy was killed, if that's what you're referring to.
Yes.
I first heard about that from one of the Lutheran missionaries who was a ham radio operator.
Is he the one that came? I remember we were in the hostel and I went out. I saw somebody out there and I went out and he asked for you and I came in and got you.
Yeah.
That who that was.
Yeah, he was. He had heard about this, and I went to the hostel to tell the volunteers who were there about it. But that was a pretty devastating thing.
How did that impact Peace Corps at all?
Well, it impacted everybody. People, everybody. The Asian community, the British expatriates, the Africans. Everybody sensed what a tremendous thing this was for the President of the United States to be assassinated. And there were lots of folks came to the Peace Corps office and extended their condolences and all that kind of stuff. And there was a huge church service in the big Catholic church in Blantyre. We did not go. Being Lutherans, we tend to stay by ourselves. But this attracted people of all colors, all religions went to this big service at the Catholic Church there.
Hmm.
So they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it was quite an event. So it was.
Yes. So it didn't have any. We had people feeling that our country was going to fall apart because they didn't understand the democracy and how we were set up. But we had a lot of students that were just so afraid for us because our country was falling apart.
Well, I didn't get any of that because the people who came to us,
sure,
for the most part, were city people,
yeah,
pretty sophisticated, most of them.
Yeah.
So
okay,
they were.
Let's see. Did you take any vacations while you were there?
Well, mostly the vacations that we took to weekends up at the Zomba Plateau, weekends at Monkey Bay up on Lake Nyasa. We took a couple of trips to the Northern Rhodesia game parks, and we were going to go to South Africa. But my wife had some medical problems, and she was going to stop in Salisbury. And she went to see a doctor there, and he said, "You're going into the hospital." She had surgery. We never did get to go to South Africa.
Okay.
But we went to Victoria Falls one time. We traveled around a little bit.
Okay.
So we did.
And was the travel by car or plane or
Travel was usually by car. We had our own. We had a big Chevrolet Carryall that we had shipped over from the United States, and we used that for our personal travel. So we did.
You mentioned Ruth's health, which is something. Did you have any health problems at all while you were there?
No, I did not have any health problems.
What about volunteers? Do you remember any kinds of health problems that cropped up?
No. Obviously, there would be a few cases of malaria and a few cases of diarrhea from time to time. We did not really have any health problems.
Okay.
Some emotional upsets once in a while, but nothing serious, really.
Okay. Did your work change at all for you from the time that you went there to the time you left?
Well, my work changed in the sense that the nature of the project changed. We had a more diverse group of volunteers than when we had arrived. Bob Poole became the director of the Africa region and came back to Washington. And there was a period of time there for a few weeks when I kind of ran things, but then we got a new director. His name was Jim and his wife's name was Mert, and I can't for the
Blackwell.
Blackwell, yeah, Jim Blackwell and his wife Mert. They showed up, but we never did have an awful lot of staff, so we just kept plugging away.
Okay, at the end of your tour, do you have anything else that you want to add at all about your time in country?
No, not really. We did not, our role was such that we stayed pretty close to the desk, took care of the paperwork, and that was mostly what it was.
And you were there for the volunteers if they needed you.
We were there for the volunteers,
right,
mainly, and that was it.
Okay. Excuse me. At the end of your tour, did you have a sense of achievement or satisfaction or any regrets or failure, you know, any things you thought as failures or, let's touch that
no,
first.
No, we didn't, I didn't have any sense of failure. I felt that we did what we came there to do. We had agreed in our family that it would be a two-year deal and then we'd go home. We did get an offer from Mr. Shriver to go to Northern Rhodesia, which is now Zambia, and develop a project there with the idea that I would become the project director. But talking it over with Ruth, we decided we would not want to do that. We wanted to come home when our 2 years was up. We had two children, and the schools, they were having problems in school. They were not the best students in the world, and it was kind of tough on them. So we wanted to get back to our situation at home where they could have a better opportunity to do what they had to do.
Okay. Do you think the Peace Corps could have done a better job to have prepared you to be in Nyasaland, or do you think what happened
well,
was fine?
No, I think that the Peace Corps was always perceived of as being a 2 year in and out sort of thing. You're one of the few who extended. You know, most of them went on home. Some who wanted to extend. The Peace Corps didn't want them to extend. You get a feel for who are the strong ones and who are not the strong ones. And you also get a feel for people who are wanting to stay because they don't want to go home and face reality once they get home. But no, I think the Peace Corps did what it was intended to do.
Okay.
So it did.
Okay. What did you have plans for the future as you got ready to leave Malawi, since you decided you weren't going to go to Zambia?
No, I had a fairly good public relations business in Fresno when we left. I had a good was doing quite a bit of work among political people, and I was doing well, and I intended to go back and keep on doing that. As it turned out, I got home, and after a couple of years, I was sort of squeezed into coming back here to Washington to be an administrative assistant to a member of Congress. So my political career, public relations career, turned around there. But I had no great plans for post-Peace Corps. Just go back to doing what I was doing.
And did you have any, you know, a lot of volunteers talk about reentry shock. Did you have any issues with reentry or anything that?
No, not really.
Any of your family have?
No, we.
Kids or anything?
We got along pretty well. I think our family adjusted pretty well.
Okay. The, as you probably know, the Peace Corps had three goals. And one was to provide technical assistance where they were requested. The other was to help promote an understanding of Americans to the people abroad. And the third was to help promote the understanding of the peoples wherever we serve back here at home. Has your life taken you into that third role at all? Were you able to do anything?
Not
in a formal sense.
We went around. I delivered a few lectures here and there about what life was like in Malawi, and you know, a few slides and a few things like that. But this is a big country, and there are a lot of folks who are really not much interested in learning much beyond their own areas. I remember one funny thing that did happen after we came back. We were living in Bowie, and one of our African staff members, a guy by the name of Hudson Mutandi, Hudson came back here to serve on the Peace Corps Malawi staff at some school in Georgia, I think it was. And he served his time there, and then he was going to come back through Washington, and we made arrangements to meet him, and it was in the winter time, and I went down to National Airport to pick him up, and we were coming back to Bowie, and it started snowing. And Hudson had never seen snow before. And he was sitting in the front seat, staring out the window at the snow, and he says, "Does it snow on the roads too?" And Hudson was just totally flabbergasted by the snow. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
So he was.
Lots of people remember Hudson.
Yeah. Hudson, and then Mr. Sangala. There's another one.
Fred
Sangala.
That's right.
Lived out at Empton Dairy, I think it was. Mm. Yeah, they both. And then Webster Walawa was another one. And then there was one more short fellow, I can't remember. One of the things that I remember from there that struck me as being strange was that the number of boys who had boyfriends, and they would walk around holding hands, and I thought that was rather odd, but then I finally concluded that was just a cultural thing. Well, now, with AIDS having emerged as such a terrible problem worldwide, I'm wondering whether what I was seeing wasn't a lot of gay couples. I just have very difficulty trying to reconcile all that.
Sure. There's something that I do want to ask you about. While you were there, also, Malawi gained, Nyasaland gained its independence and became Malawi. And you lived next to Dr. Banda, and there were political things going on, and I wondered in your recollection if, number one, you can recollect anything around the celebrations and the change and whatnot, anything that might have activity with Banda or the political situation.
Yeah, there were. The coming of independence, there were always around Malawi youth groups, young, I forget what they were
pioneers,
called. Young pioneers. And they would walk around with their fancy uniforms on, and after independence, several times I wondered, you know, whether we were safe. We would occasionally go out and visit the volunteers here and there and around the country. And you're driving down the road, and you see 10 or 20 of these groups along the road, and they stop you, and they look over your car, and you wonder what's going to happen next. We never had any problems, but we were stopped a few times. And then living next door to Dr. Banda, he had guards all over that place. They finally chopped down all the trees and put up huge, big searchlights all around his house. Built a great big fence, and we lived right next door to them. And we had to drive past his guards to and from home all the time. We never had any problems, but you always wondered when some guy's gonna get overly excited and cause some problems.
Mm-hmm. Were there communications that came to Peace Corps from Bonda, from the executive, from that kind of thing, from periodically or not?
No, we didn't hear much. We heard very little. Mostly it would come through the Justice Ministry or through the ambassador's office. Wasn't an ambassador, what was it?
Consulate.
A consulate.
That's right.
Come through the consulate. Now, I had a couple of occasions to go and meet with Dr. Banda next door, mm-hmm. To deal with problems of particular volunteers who were being a little bit too aggressive and vocal in their criticism of the Malawi government, and we had to ship a couple of them out. You can't just allow them to stay.
Yeah.
They didn't go very far. They went to Kenya, Tanzania, and they continued to work with dissident groups within Malawi, I think, and they were pretty good volunteers, but they were just unable to separate their own feelings from what the Peace Corps was all about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But the transition into independence was pretty calm.
It was exciting. If you will recall all the tremendous crowd of people that was at the stadium there that night. It was in July. Was it the 8th?
6th.
6th. Okay. Tremendous crowd, all the fireworks and all that kind of stuff. But how all those people got in and out of there, was it Rangeley Stadium?
Yeah,
that's where
right.
It was?
That's the name, right.
All those people got there and got their cars parked and then got out and got home safely afterwards. I still don't understand how that all happened, but it worked.
It was a big time.
Yeah, it sure was.
Let's see now. Have you had any Peace Corps involvement? Did you have any Peace Corps involvement? Have you had any with the Peace Corps itself or with anything connected with Malawi since you're coming back?
No, we have had no contact other than we have seen you and Larry a couple of times.
You're a member of the Friends of Malawi?
And I was a member of Friends of Malawi for a number of years, but we're pretty much homebodies, so we are. We don't get around too much.
Okay. So now just to give a summary, what was your life after, what kinds of things have you done in your life since you left the Peace Corps?
Oh, well, got back to Fresno, resumed my public relations business, became an administrative assistant to the President Pro Tem of the California State Senate, a part-time thing. Then I came back here to be an administrative assistant to a member of Congress. I was on the staff of the House Rules Committee in the late 60s and early 70s when the House rules were rewritten. Tip O'Neill was the speaker then. Then I retired from Congress, went to work for the Federal National Mortgage Association, now known as Fannie Mae. Left Fannie Mae, went back up on the Hill, took my civil service retirement, went to work as a lobbyist for a group of Western water users. Then I published a newsletter for Western farmers for a couple of years. Then I just sort of quit doing anything, just lived on my retirement, my Social Security.
And enjoyed life,
right.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about?
No, anything? I think you've pretty well covered it. I wish that you had been able to talk to Bob Poole about all this, because Bob was a great director, terribly interested in Africa, all over Africa, and he would have been able to make a, of course I assume he's left records at the Peace Corps and stuff like that, so that's probably available. that's, you've pretty well covered everything for us.
Well, thank you, Gordon, for taking the time to do this interview. We greatly appreciate it.
I wonder if it took.